wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. The Devil's Last Trench. In these days of Cold War, each side watches every move of their enemy to determine the underlying motive and ultimate purpose of such. But beyond the visibility of men, there goes on a relentless conflict as the greatest powers of the universe, God and the forces of the devil, battle. Men are not sideline watchers. We are involved, for it concerns our souls, our lives, and our destinies. And since the devil is cunningly plotting our ruin, God has warned us of the strategy of that roaring lion who goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Living in these last days, when the end of all things is at hand, we will consider the devil's last trench. A retreating army has its trenches to retreat into, but what if it is defeated in its last trench? Satan doesn't take defeat lightly, but increases his furious retaliation. And when in his last trench, he puts up a fight of aggressive resistance and of cunning strategy. We will first observe as he did his utmost to overthrow God's Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That conflict will reveal his procedure with us. While men were so dull to understand, yet the devil knew that God had sent forth his Son to be our kinsman redeemer, and that meant that he must give himself in sacrifice for us. For only by his shed blood could our sins be cleansed and we brought back to God. So, when God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, to redeem us, Satan set out to prevent his ever getting to that cross. Strange happenings crowded the brief life of our adorable Lord Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record the experiences of our Lord while he was here on earth, but behind them was a satanic plot. We read of a storm on a lake while Jesus slept in a little fishing boat. But who sent that storm, and for what purpose? As Satan determined to destroy our Savior, so he plots our everlasting destruction. This is another reason why each one should personally study the New Testament. God, having delighted in his Son's perfect work of creation, now sent forth his Son to redeem sinful man, and this required a work far greater than creation. He must become man and die for our sins. He must lay down his own life in sacrifice, and then, conquering death and Satan, take back that life by his own power, rising from the dead. The devil did not wait till Calvary to fight back. Calvary was his last wrench. No sooner was God's Son miraculously born of Mary than Satan fills King Herod with an envious determination to kill the babe Jesus. To be sure he got him, all the babies of Bethlehem must be slain. But God's Son had been divinely removed far from Bethlehem, and the devil is defeated while Jesus of Nazareth lives. In those 30 years our Lord was in Nazareth as a boy growing into manhood, Satan tried to induce him to step out of the path of doing his Father's will, but every attack brought a fresh defeat for the devil. Then, as Jesus, bearing the shame of that little town as a part of his name, forever to be known as Jesus of Nazareth, emerges from its obscurity, a heavenly honor crowns his victory. The Holy Spirit comes from heaven, and God cries from an open heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This brings a fresh attack as Satan determines to get him to displease God. A 40-day battle was waged in the wilderness, and when our Savior was weakened by 40 days without food, Satan wants him to turn stones into bread and ease the strain. But our Lord would not thus break his entire dependence upon God for everything, and answers, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Transporting him to the temple's pinnacle, he dares Jesus to jump off. But our Redeemer had not come to perform stunts to entertain men or demons. And he answered, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then Satan uncovers his strategy by showing Jesus all the world's kingdoms. And these he offers our Lord if he would only fall down and worship him. This would avoid the cross and be a shortcut to the throne. The thought is so repulsive to our Lord, he orders Satan to go, and he retreats to another trench in total defeat. As our Lord begins his public ministry, the very synagogue of Nazareth becomes a battlefield. For as our Lord perfectly blended truth with his message of grace, the whole congregation become devil-possessed to kill him. They seize him, march him to the hill of execution. But Jesus turns and faces them. They sulk away while he passes through their midst in the dignity of a conqueror, and Satan drops back to another trench. Though our Lord, as the good shepherd, declared, no one taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Yet the devil makes another attempt upon his life. Jesus is asleep in a little boat in the middle of the sea. As the prince of the power of the air, has not God allowed Satan to command the wind? Did he not blow down that house on Job's children? He would blow on that sea till the waves rose house high and bury that boat. A storm such as those fishermen never saw arose, but Jesus takes the deck and rebukes the wind and yields to his superior, his supreme command. Had that wind been sent by his Father, our Lord would not have rebuked it. Defeated again, the devil sulks back to another trench. Days of popularity follow as our Lord preached in power, cleansed the lepers, cast out demons, and even raised the dead. Pride was the fall of the devil and of Adam, but our Lord remained the same meek and lowly one. Though so honored by heaven and earth, yet he humbled himself to go to the cross for us, as he told his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be killed and be raised again the third day. Peter becomes Satan's spokesman and says, pity thyself, Lord. This shall by no means be unto thee. But like a flash our Lord cries, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Since Jesus Christ could not be ensnared by the devil, if only God would welcome him back to heaven, surely he would yield, and then Calvary would never be. So the devil's hopes revived as our Lord with his three chosen disciples are alone on a high mountain. Moses and Elijah join the group. The law, the prophets, and the New Testament apostles are represented there. Then God officially opens heaven's gate to Jesus, the only one holy man. For keeping the law and doing God's will meant that eternal life and not death was his by right. Heaven and not hell must be his abode. But from the shining glory of heaven, our Lord turns, and down from the Mount of Transfiguration he comes to set his face in the flint to go to the cross. He refused to enter heaven's gate as the one holy man, for then he must go in alone. But he would enter heaven as our Savior, having offered himself as the one sacrifice for sins forever, so he could take us in with him. Hallelujah, what a Savior! Then the people turned against him. The devil's captains might have counted this their victory, but the devil knew it was written of him. He is despised and rejected of men, and in this he was declaring that he was Calvary-bound to be wounded for our transgressions, as the scriptures foretold. The devil's forces planned to make a big thing of Judas's denial, but that too fails, for Judas confesses his betrayal of the innocent blood and hangs himself. And so the devil, defeated at every trench, tries his most artful tactics in his last trench. Neighbor, don't miss this great warning to all of us. God had appointed his time for the sacrifice. The 14th day had come. God's sacrifice must be on time, or it would not avail. The night previous, our Lord said, Father, the hour is come. And he assured his Father he would finish the work given to him to do. So the devil tries to delay it. while making it appear that the judges were favoring Jesus. Let us be warned, human favors that seem to be for us may be devilish snares to delay our doing God's will. I repeat that. Human favors that seem to be for us may be devilish snares to delay our doing God's will. Caiaphas asked Jesus to tell him about his disciples and his doctrine. How long would that have taken? Then Pilate hears of Galilee and sends Jesus off to Herod to take more time. Herod wants him to stage a miracle. Jesus refuses and is soon marched back to Pilate. Pilate asks him, "What hast thou done?" That would have taken centuries to answer. Pilate asked, "What is truth?" And that would have added more. But our Lord answers nothing. Pilate marvels. The devil is defeated. Our Lord marches on to Calvary just on time. Triumphantly, the Bible says, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Praise the Lord. To our Lord Jesus Christ be the glory forever. He did all the will of God, and he did it on time. In seeking to serve the Lord, you who are Christians need to beware of that last trench, as the devil seeks to defeat God's plans for you by detaining you. To some he will say, you ought to first get a college degree. But ere you finish college, you will have other plans than serving Christ. To others, he says, your business is fine. Make a lot of money, then retire, and then serve the Lord. If you agree, you'll spend your old age nursing yourself instead of serving Christ. Christians, there is a time to do God's will. Right now, the world is in a crisis. We must use every means, radio, press, signs, and all other means to get the gospel of Christ to this lost world. Tomorrow will be too late. The devil knows this, so he teaches Christians to do their work first and the Lord's last. This is his victory. And you, my neighbors who are not saved, you have won some battles over Satan. He wanted you to discredit the Bible, but you know it is the Word of God. He wanted you to regard Jesus as just a good man, but you know he is the Son of God. He tried to get you to think he is dead, but you accredit his resurrection as true. He wanted you to reject the truth of atonement by blood, of eternal judgment in hell, and of one needing to be born again to go to heaven. But in all, he's lost the battle, and so he drops back into his last trench and says, of course, you want to be a Christian when you die, but now you have a business to look after. You have a family to raise and friends to entertain, and you ought to enjoy life here. And then later on, you can attend to that matter. And you have fallen into Satan's snare. But ere the hopeless end comes, God cries again in your ears, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Behold, now is the day of salvation. Oh, my neighbor, don't let the devil defeat you in that last trench, but right now, make a complete surrender to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And as another victory for our Lord, your name will be written in heaven. Amen. Neighbor, you may look at some old man and say, he hasn't got long now to get right with God, but I am young and I have many years to decide these matters. Did you know that your days to be saved may be just as few as his? Yes, even to the very day and hour. Do you ask, how could that ever be? Jesus is coming again, and at his coming, the old and young alike shall find only a shut door to face them, and across that door will be, you are too late forever. No wonder the Lord Jesus told us all to be ready for his coming again. It takes two experiences to be ready. First, by repenting of your many sins against God, and by receiving his Son Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior, to be a real born-again Christian. And second, to live each day, not for yourself, but for the Lord Jesus and for his gospel, doing all you can to help take the message of salvation to every man the world around. then it will be defeat for the devil in that last trench and a glorious victory for our God and his kingdom. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.